Grace, mercy, and peace be with you from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. The text for today's message is today's lesson, especially these words. Immediately he commanded the disciples to get into the boat and go before him to the other side of the sea while he dismissed the crowds. In the fourth watch of the night, Jesus came to them walking on the sea. But when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were terrified and said, "It is a ghost," and they cried out in fear. But immediately Jesus spoke to them, saying, "Take heart, it is I, do not be afraid." And Peter answered him, "Lord, if it is you, command me to come to you on the water." And Jesus said, "Come." So Peter got out of the boat and walked on water and came to Jesus. But when he saw the wind, he was afraid, and beginning to sink, he cried out, "Lord, save me." Jesus immediately reached out his hand and took hold of him, saying to him, "O you of little faith, why did you doubt?" And when they got into the boat, the wind ceased, and those in the boat worshipped him, saying, "Truly, you are the Son of God." Sometimes things aren't quite what they appear. I mean, all the situation seems to be easily understood, and yet it's the complete wrong reality. That happened to me this last week. I went to a movie. Nancy and I went to Mission Impossible, and we were sitting in there, and we got about 15 minutes into the movie when all of a sudden all the fire alarms went off. Now, Mission Impossible is a movie filled with alarms, okay, and sirens and all kinds of stuff. And my first thought was, what an innovative way of creating a movie where you're able to take hold of and can control all of the fire alarms in the movie theater. Second thought was, boy, that's a kind of dangerous thing to do. Of course, then they ushered us out of the movie theater because someone had pulled the fire alarm, okay? And we stood there for 45 minutes until they finally told us to go home. Now, of course, I mean, it seemed like it was part of the movie at first. Everything fit, and yet, of course, it wasn't true at all. The point of this text, I think, is one of those. There's actually two texts in the scriptures that I see falling into this pattern. One happens every Sunday after Easter, Doubting Thomas Sunday, right? And the other one happens every third year on this Sunday with this gospel text. On Doubting Thomas Sunday, I think we heap way too much criticism on Thomas, right, and say we shouldn't be like that, when in fact the other disciples doubted just as much, okay, as Thomas. So again, it's easy to miss that point. But in this text, I think it's easy to miss the point too. I think we heap way too much praise on Peter and what he does here. Now, I'd say it took me a good 25 years in my ministry to see this. For 25 years, so roughly, I preached this text 9 times. I went along with the basic story. Now, it was a Christian sermon, okay, certainly. It pointed to Christ, but I think I missed the main point. Because basically, this is the story I preached. Jesus gets him on the boat, tells him to go across, right? There's a storm. Jesus comes walking on the sea, walks up to the boat. They're all freaking out because they think he's a ghost. He says, "I'm not a ghost. Everything's fine." And Peter says, "Hey, well, if it's you, call me to walk out on water to you," which Peter does, right? He leaves the safety of the boat, right? He shows great courage, unlike the 11, right? And steps out in faith and walks to Jesus, and he makes it a couple feet, right? And we're like, wow. But then he's distracted by the wind and the wave, right? And he takes his eyes off of Jesus, and because of that, he starts to sink. But Jesus is there to save him and say, "Oh, you of little faith, why did you doubt?" In other words, why did you doubt that you could walk on water? The end. Now, of course, about 7 years ago, I'm looking at this text. I'm going, there's something wrong here, right? Number one, I had to ask myself, this story is in 3 Gospels. It's in Mark and John and Matthew. Only Matthew mentions Peter walking on water. If this is the focus of this text, it would be in all 3, and it's not. Secondly, I had to ask myself, why is Jesus really walking on water in the first place, right? I mean, it's kind of a long walk. You go across the Sea of Galilee, it's 8 miles. I mean, that's a pretty good haul, and I've never tried walking on water, so, it seems a little bumpy. But, why did he do that? Couldn't he just appear on the other side? And couldn't he have just gotten in the boat? I mean, he could have done any of those things. Why does he walk on water? Simple. He has just fed the 5,000. Everybody is saying, "You're a miracle worker. You're the prophet. We want to make you king." And Jesus wants to tell his disciples that he's a little more than that. He's walking on water because he's God. That's what he wants his disciples to see. A lesson, by the way, as you can see in the gospel, they get. Surely you're the Son of God. They get it at the end. So we know why Jesus walked on water on that night. So why did Peter sink? Now, as Christians, we have an immediate answer to that, because his faith wasn't strong enough, right? That's where I think non-believers actually have an advantage over us, because they have a much obvious, more obvious answer that is actually true. Why couldn't Peter walk on water? Because people can't walk on water. So let's try opening up our eyes and reading this text a little more clearly, like for the first time. Okay, the first thing that happens, by the way, is the only command that Jesus gives in this text, technically. The command is, get in the boat and go to the other side. By the way, 11 disciples follow that command and one doesn't. Peter. The thing is, they don't want to go to the other side, not right now. It's really bad timing. See, you know, Matthew keeps using the word immediately on purpose. They had just experienced the feeding of the 5,000. Probably 15,000 people, maybe more. The disciples have just finished up picking up the leftover bread. Now's the time to bask in the glory, right? I mean, Jesus is, I mean, they just think he's a superstar, and these guys are the backup band, and they get some of the adulation. You want to stick around for that? And Jesus goes, no. Okay, you're not going to get that kind of treatment. Get in the boat, go to the other side. I'm not going to get that treatment either. I'm going to go up on a mountain and pray by myself. And so they're a little let down, I think, as they row away, not being the center of attention. And I was thinking, as they moved away from shore, Peter was thinking, we'll see about that. All right. They get a little further out. It's nighttime, and all of a sudden they get hit by a storm. Now, this is not a kind of storm that we're used to around here. This is more of a windstorm that affects the Sea of Galilee a lot. And with a windstorm, there's all kinds of waves. It's very difficult, even for 12 men, to control a boat in those kind of conditions. By the way, it's a lot harder to control a boat when one person decides to jump over and walk on water. Now you got 11 people. Don't think that didn't leave the other 11 people. You know, I'm sure they had that in mind as well when Peter jumped out. In the middle of the night, Jesus comes walking on the water towards them. And they are understandably terrified. They think he's a ghost, a spirit, and they cry out in fear. Jesus comforts them. He says, be of courage. It is I. Do not be afraid. In other words, I'm here. Everything will be fine. And then Peter doubts. He says, if it is you, call me out on the water to you. Those words should sound kind of familiar. Jesus is in the wilderness, and Satan says, well, if you are the Son of God, turn these stones into bread. Very similar. By those words, Peter is showing doubt. If it is you. And what does Jesus say? Go for it. Give it a shot. He says, okay, come ahead. And he said that knowing that Peter was going to sink. Knowing that Peter couldn't walk on water, probably hoping that Peter would have enough common sense to know that he couldn't walk on water. And of course, Peter misses the point entirely. Jesus is not walking on water because he's a man of such great faith. He walks on water because he is God. He's the God who just fed 5,000 people, probably a lot more. He's the God who cares for people, heals people, raises people from the dead, transforms people's lives. And he's also the God, we're going to see in this text, a God who saves. Doubting, self-centered blockheads like Peter, who never really understand who Jesus is, and who really never understand their role as a disciple. And so he jumps in the water and gets a little ways and sinks. What a shock. Now, why did he sink? I can't tell you how many times I probably preached, he sunk because he took his eyes off of Jesus. See, but that's really, how could I make that mistake? Does it say that anywhere in here, that he took his eyes off Jesus? What does it say? It said he saw the wind. Okay, do you see wind? I don't know about you. I feel it, okay? And he can feel the wind while he's looking at Jesus. He's not taking his eyes off Jesus. That has no reason, no reason at all why he sunk. He sunk for the same reason I sunk in the second grade in St. Louis Park Memorial Pool. Because when I tried to walk on water, it didn't work either. Because people can't walk on water. God can. People can't. Again, it's important that word immediately, because then it says immediately Jesus saved him. Okay? So see, Jesus isn't 20, 30 yards off to see how far he gets. He knows how far he's going to get, not very far. And so he moves to Peter so that he can save him. And then he says to him, "O ye of little faith, why did you doubt?" Now, I'd like to think when they got on the boat and the wind calmed down completely and all the waves are gone, Jesus says, "Well, now we have a quiet moment." And he says to the 11 disciples, "Well, you 11 that stayed in the boat, what did Peter do wrong?" And I'd like to think Andrew, Peter's brother, being a brother, would raise his hand and say, "He got out of the boat." And Peter would say, Jesus would say, "Right." Now, we assume, why we make this assumption, and I did for years, that when Jesus says, "Oh, you of little faith, why did you doubt?" We assume he means, why did you doubt that you could walk on water? That's not what he's referring to. He's referring to the words that were spoken just before this, where Peter says, "If it's you." Jesus saying, "Why did you doubt it was me? And why did you get out of the boat?" Now, if you disagree with me, hey, you're in the majority, okay? This last week, I went through, I did kind of a survey of commentaries and sermons on this text. You know, just to make sure I'm not the only person who thinks this, okay? Because you get a little nervous when that's the case. And you can Google that kind of thing, and you can get the titles and little blurbs on what each commentary or sermon is, what the main theme is. And I did 100, just so I could have a percentage and I wouldn't have to think too much, right? I went through 100. 97 disagree with me. But 3 agreed with me, okay? I have to ask myself, why in the world is that? For 97, what Peter did is something we should be doing. That we should step out in faith. And why is it that that is more than likely going to be preached in the vast majority of churches around the country? Why is that and around the world? It's because we always want to do something big. And as Christians, we want to do something big for God. We want to prove ourselves. You know, heaven forbid just being obedient to what Jesus said, stay in the boat, go to the other side. That's too much. We want to do something impressive. We want to prove our faith. We want to be challenged. None of that has anything to do with this text or anything to do with our Christian lives. The point of this text is not about how well we follow Jesus. It's all about who we follow. And Jesus said, "Get in the boat and stay in the boat and go to the other side." Why did he want him in the boat in the first place? It's like that old saying, why did the chicken cross the road, right? To get to the other side. He wants him in the boat because he wants him to go to the other side of the Sea of Galilee, because there are people there who are hurting, depressed, dying, sick, and he wants them to go across so along with himself, he can heal them. He can care for them. He can forgive their sins. He can give them a renewed life. He can introduce them to the new kingdom that has come and introduce them to not just a prophet, not just a teacher, not just a miracle worker, but the Son of God who loves them. He tells them to get in the boat and stay in the boat because he knows it's safe in the boat, because he's with them. He tells them to be in that boat because he wants them to always trust in him. This idea of challenging ourselves, and it's all about us, and it's all about what we do, and it's all about we proving ourselves, that's simply not the case. That's not the case here at all. None of those things are true. We're called to stay in the boat because Jesus says so, and to be obedient to him, to reach out to others who are hurting and to care for them. So when we see Peter stepping out of the boat, we see someone who is really not following Jesus' direction, and he's missed the point of being a disciple of Jesus Christ. You see, he wants us in the boat so we'll be too busy living the life we've been given to rewrite our lives and make it more exciting. That's not what it's all about. Finally, at the end, the disciples get the point, right? That our lives are not about people looking at us, applauding what we were doing, amazed at how well we follow Jesus, pointing at us and say, look at how they follow him. Instead, what Jesus wants is he wants people to be looking a few feet in front of us and say, look at the one they follow. And why do they follow him? Well, we know the answer. Surely this is the Son of God. He walked on water to prove who he was, not who they were. He is the Son of God. He is the one who died for our sins, rose from the dead. He's the one who is in our life today calling us sons and daughters of God. I thank God that he has given us that knowledge. I thank God that he has us in the boat. You know, keep in mind, too, churches are usually shaped this way because they're shaped like a boat. He wants us here. And in this boat, he's sending us to others, right? It's not time to show off. It's time to show others the Savior who has done so much for us. In Jesus' name, amen.